Things we like.
Please be upstanding for a new recording of Things We Like.
Welcome to Things We Like.
It's important that you keep a straight face. We can't have every week's podcast begin with a series of you doing the intro poorly.
I have no intro skill. Cheers. Good evening and welcome to the things that we... No,
the things do it, we do like. It like it's a movie trailer.
Good evening and welcome to Things We Like.
Oh, that's fucking shit.
I think you should keep it.
There was a show where they discussed things. Some of those things we like. Coming this fall, a group of men like thing in a shed. I'm Batman. You'll get... gingivitis.
Where is she?
Over there, Daddy.
Oh.
There we go. We'll be able to edit something quite good out of that.
Hell yeah. And this week, we have liking the things.
Jim. Mystery guest.
Jan.
Alf.
Just as we try and remember the only four people in the room.
It's been a long night. I've seen things.
Things you liked?
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So I'll
well, might as well open with that one then.
Hey, what were the things that you saw that we all liked?
Fireworks. Beautiful, wonderful fireworks. And as Jan pointed out earlier tonight, it's exceptionally difficult to describe them to anyone without using terms like champagne. And, yeah, like sort of like a ball, like spans, that kind of stuff. Like. Yeah.
The shiny ones just don't cut it.
Although there were... good exhibits of smiley faces and also heart shapes and other bits and pieces tonight. It was really
I like the ones that kind of look like fish. They exploded in the sky and then they kind of fish swam about in the air for a bit.
Yeah. They look sort of like organic in their motion. And Cruz was saying he's planning at some point in firework history to create a dragon a la Gandalf.
Yeah, he wanted it remote control, didn't he?
He did.
I did like that.
It would probably be pretty complicated. You'd have to like, have like, some kind of total control over each individual firework part, which would be an individually guided unit.
Drones.
Something like that.
Drones.
Burning drones, yeah.
Burning drones, yeah. Yeah, this is, of course, the Southport Annual Musical Fireworks Championships. I don't know the range of the competition. I don't know how far across the country it expands.
It's actually quite a big competition.
Yeah, it's got quite a lot of prestige to it now. So because they've ended up getting really good players in the first sort of like couple of years, it means that people are always trying to one-up them. So it's now become something, a prize to be attained.
Chelsea haven't got a fireworks show, have they? You know what I mean? Got the flower show, like us. Not got a fireworks show.
But it's cool.
All year round.
It's quite... I think it's geographic, though. It's like much the same way we ended up with the air show. We're a big sort of like open, flat play.
All year round. Yeah. All year round.
Oh, Southport has good shows.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fireworks.
Was there any good tunes?
Couldn't tell. I think
strangely enough, we were too far away from the music to have the musical aspect, but we didn't want to pay £7.
So it just sounded like, you know...
distant artillery.
Strangely though, I don't think it's actually sort of like the economic that's driven the music down. Like, we used to be able to hear the tunes from
here. Yeah, the wind might have been involved.
Also, personally, just like complaints in general. The fact if you can hear it from here, everyone sort of like all through town must have just had it like flooding through them.
I mean, it works, said that they've moved it further down.
They have. Vicky, it's a bit more inland now, so apparently it's more surrounded by buildings.
And they'll,
it's Vicky Park.
And they'll have a more... it sounds like they've got a more contained sound system to sort of like just keep it.
That's
in
a shame.
The park.
That is a shame. It doesn't go on late. Why not?
No, people were blasting it on Friday for the sound tests.
Yeah, they were.
They have the...
if you can charge... Was it seven? It was like £5 last year. If you can get £7 out of them so you can get in...
Yeah, £7 on the door, £5 if you book.
Yeah, but I see, it was still £7 last year. It's the same prices.
I have to say, I don't want to be like a, you know, I can find enjoyment in a lot of things. They really have to be pretty bloody spectacular to wow me.
Oh,
mate. You know what I mean? Fireworks, it's just, it's like, I don't know. I've seen quite a few fireworks. Not like, you know, a ridiculous number. I'm not some firework connoisseur. But there comes a point where it's quite samey after a while.
No,
it has to be really spectacular
I think it's probably partially because our dad was so obsessed with them. But, like, as a child especially, it was as close as I came to seeing, like, actual magic. Like, just...
You guys have done some pretty good displays, though, to be fair. I mean, I quite enjoyed the one at Bestival this year. That was quite good. But that was because they were playing banging tunes as well.
You know what I mean? It's nice they can bring them together.
Speaking of the family fireworks displays, I was told earlier on about the most expensive Catherine wheel in Southport.
I'm folding my arms.
Would you like to elaborate on the most expensive Catherine wheel in Southport story?
Right. Long story short, there was a Catherine wheel.
A beautiful Catherine wheel
that I affixed to a plank, that I tied the plank to a supporting structure with some nylon string.
And this was the culmination of the display, wasn't it? This was the big end point.
And it burnt through the string and it landed on the grass and just burnt a very sad little rug into the floor. That's not even the worst one. I've nailed them to the trees and they've come flying off and danced around the garden.
Actually, the year before last, we had an incident where one of those like big multi-air bombs, like one of them must have been turned reversed because like it fired upwards a few times and then fired downwards, launched the whole thing out of its sort of like safety hole and then just aimed squarely down the garden towards the spectators and started firing air bombs at people. And luckily, we escaped another year without a single casualty, but, you know...
Almost killed a three-year-old kid.
Oh, why would you even say
it? Almost that's not doesn't true. Count.
Yeah, besides which, nothing exploded near him, and he just has a really healthy fear of fireworks. So, really, that's increased his survival chances.
How about the New Year's one, where we had that giant rocket, and we just stuck it in the floor?
The one that came in a cage, is this?
No, this is what actually, it was a mid-sized rocket. It wasn't the huge one.
I think it might have been a cage one.
No, it wasn't. Not the one we just stuck in the ground and then lit it and then realised it was frozen in there.
Yeah.
No, that was a mid-sized
rocket.
That must
be kind of cool, though. Did it bang on the ground, then?
Well, no, it managed to make it a little distance into the sky. Because we were on the phone to, like, Mum and Dad at the time, because they were away. Like, and we were like, oh, Happy New Year! And, like, lit it. And then realised it was, like, plunged into sort of, like, frozen ground and like it lit and started to burn, but it wasn't going anywhere. And we're like, fuck, and just like,
and about 30, yeah, 40 people gathered in the path bit by the house, and all they could hear in the end of the phone was just like, ah! Like
it finally sort of like, yeah, managed to clear itself free, got sort of like about 20 feet up in the air, and it exploded. And it's probably just as well it did fly in the end.
I ran down the side alley with green light exploding behind me and I left Jamie to die.
But one of the other ones was like, had like we invested one year because like a local shop that used to do sort of mostly motor parts and lawnmower hire, that kind of stuff. They used to get like display fireworks and we used to buy them from them. And there was like a mortar tube, like a thick cardboard one with these three round mortar shells. And like it was a red, a blue one and like a white one. So me, James and Dad had one each, and Dad did his first, went off fine, poof, into the air, amazing, it's like a proper starburst, and then I did mine, but the first one had like deformed the tube a little bit, so I like pushed it to the bottom, like let it off, and then James came to do his, and by this point the tube was really quite sort of like misshapen from the first few launches, so we ended up sort of like having to really sort of like jam it down to the bottom. And like lit the fuse, and then like it went, but it only went about sort of like 12, like fucking 13 feet up into the air, and like it just exploded, and everyone had to hit the deck. It was just shrapnel across the garden, and then next to us, trampoline set alight, and all sorts.
Oh, God.
But
is that when we had it like leaned up like a stargate at the end of the garden?
Indeed, but we do always try to exercise like, you know, firework safety ordinances and all the rest of it, and these incidents have never claimed anyone's answer.
Well, I don't condone, you know, messing around with fireworks. I have to say, I have messed around with fireworks way too many times and got away with not hurting anyone.
Well,
really.
this is why I feel... No,
I've done it on purpose.
You see, that's it.
Yeah, not in an attempt to hurt anyone, just in a, like, let's do something stupid with a firework. Yeah. And thankfully no one's ever got injured. I deliberately set one, a load of fireworks off underneath a tree because I wanted it to hit the branches because I thought it would be funny. And it was, but most people did run and watch from inside the kitchen. I once lit a firework in my mate's hand as he was shaking it to listen to the powder in it. I like crept up behind him and he was shaking it to his ear and I just lit it. Wow. And he fucking, yeah, but you know, his face, like, he's shaking it. Just absolutely freaked out, lobbed it. That was entertaining. Yeah, you know, wow. Really stupid.
We don't condone
it. That's what I'm saying, I'm not condoning it at all. Like, that was when I was much younger and I would never do anything like that now with a firework, genuinely.
That's
you know, well done.
I feel vindicated in the sense of, sort of, like, we've always tried to adhere to, like, firework codes, just things just tend to go wrong, but just never that bad.
I've been designing chemically powered batarangs.
Until now.
Alright, I've got all this metal, like, these metal, like, flat things, and I'm going to cut them into the shape of Batman things, but I'm also going to have...
Or bats.
But yeah, I suppose. But they're going to have, like, chemical rocket thrusters at the edges.
Okay.
They're going to test them on the beach.
It doesn't sound safe.
No.
No.
Sounds well dangerous. Fun, but well dangerous.
Where would you hurl them from if they've got chemical rockets on each end?
But that's it. Like, you set the fuse off it when it gets to, like, I think it's 3 seconds, you wasm. And then, like, after three, it'll keep going through the air quite nicely. Aerodynamic, and then it just goes and start going.
But what happens if, like, it's the point at which it ignites, the rotation means it's pointed back at you?
You're toast.
Right.
If one of them goes off before the other one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Doesn't sound safe.
No.
That's what I'm going to do at the beach.
But.
No, but for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you ended up getting one of those buried in you when you're in the beach by a freak accident, you're going to have to crawl a long way to get to safety.
Oh, but that's local paperwork. Idiot hurts himself with homemade batarang.
Wow. See, I've been, like, looking at the development of quite a lot of Batman-esque weapons. Like, I told you about this the other night, about that YouTube tutorial I saw on making smoke bombs that you can throw at the floor.
Mm. And we said to you, we really would like you to have one of these things.
Exactly.
So when we start naysaying, you can just whip it out and go boom.
Because ideally, you would at least have something rigged now to produce the sound of that.
Oh, what, you mean like these?
You did nothing.
Yeah,
you just made hand motions and sound effects.
Badass sound effect there. It's going to be great.
So, Jan?
I read an interesting article. It's pretty sciencey, and I really don't understand the science behind it, but the Curiosity rover that's been to Mars, they've been doing tests with it, and it's found out that the red dust that covers the entire surface of Mars will produce 2 pints of water per cubic foot when heated to several hundred degrees.
That's quite a lot of water for a cubic foot.
Really? Yeah, that is, but that means that, you know, we can now start developing a system of producing water on Mars that will be ready by the time it gets there.
But I thought they'd found some kind of recent chemical difference that means that Mars water would generally be poisonous to us or something like that.
Surely we can deal with that.
It has a poisonous element, I can't remember what it is, but it fucks with the human thyroid, so they'll have to, like, filter that up.
Well, hopefully they'll work it out. But if we know all these things now, by the time we get to Mars, maybe, you know, we'll have some good plans and things to make it workable.
Right. What we need is to somehow...
Total Recall.
Yeah. We need, that's it. That Total Recall, exactly. We'll just be sitting in domes. What we need is, like, some way to either restart its core or generate a magnetic field around the whole planet so things don't get all fucked up, so we can actually get an atmosphere back of it.
That would be cool.
Well, they've made the force fields hard light jobby, haven't they? So,
that was something I was going to talk about.
Well, we can talk about it.
The fucking photonic molecules. Oh.
Yeah, we could have a Rimmer.
No.
With a lightsaber. And a blaster.
And force fields.
Yeah, for people who don't know what we're talking about, this sounds like madness. There's already a link on our Facebook page. Have a look at that, if you haven't already. I don't know. BJ Skills and the scientists at MIT, I can't remember the damn bugger's name, but they've managed to form cohesive molecules from separate photons. They can make light molecules which means all kinds of crazy-ass technologies are just totally opening up. And as everybody is saying, lightsabers. We're all going to have goddamn lightsabers. But the amount of lightsaber deaths in the first year alone is going to sort out our overpopulation problem.
Our medical abilities to deal with burn wounds and cauterised wounds are going to go up, though, aren't they?
Dude, medical technology through the roof.
Yeah. That's the irony. Some people actually end up sustaining wounds they probably don't want to survive, but they'll be cauterised.
Oh, God.
That's true. People won't be dying of the blood loss.
Brute and Stan.
It's very exorcist. Actually, you've made me feel horrible.
Good.
That's something I like.
Making Jim feel horrible.
Just for that instant.
Okay.
Well, I think the darkness is coming. It is Halloween.
Mm. Well, it's not Halloween.
It's almost Halloween.
Yeah.
And there is the whole SAD thing. The nights are turning over. I feel like I should be getting a bit plumper and then hibernating. Seeing through some of the colder, darker, miserable months.
That doesn't sound dark. That makes you sound like a charming forest animal.
Maybe that's the life I want to lead, deep down.
Mystery guest, bunkered down in the woods with cheeks full of chestnuts.
I sleep among the leaves.
Oh, yeah.
Happy as can be in a little coma of my own. Yeah.
It sounds like an excellent way to spend winter.
Mystery guest in the willows is calling to me.
Actually, I imagine like the more like the what's it the woo whip
woo whip woo. Oh, that's the
the Apaches are dead. The Inuits are dead. Everybody's dead.
Oh,
yeah.
We are going to have to link to that song.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
just to explain to everybody.
This is a song our dad loves.
It's the coyote tune, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's the the saddest song ever.
Yeah.
It's about the cowboys in the West's dead. There's no more cowboys. All the Native Americans are dead. We killed on the buffalo. Oh, cowboys.
But we won't die. We'll live to regret everything.
The living will envy the dead.
Lovely.
Like that, yeah.
Darkness.
Right.
Elf, like anything?
Sort of. I've been watching Atlantis, the new BBC series about, well, Atlantis. It's, you know, it's no Game of Thrones or any high-calibre TV show for that matter, but it's entertaining. It's, you know, yeah, it's entertaining. I do like it, otherwise I wouldn't have brought it up, but I've only watched two episodes. It was okay. But, you know, it'll get better.
What was the second one about?
It's about, like, some dude's daughter's gone missing and she's been taken by a cult who pray to Dionysus, I believe. They're a bunch of women and they're a bit creepy and they have these weird dudes, the monkey men that work for them. I can't remember the name.
Agile monkey men.
Yeah, relatively. They're pretty, they look like mini trolls, like from the Troll Hunter, but they're pretty gnarly, but they're afraid of the main character, rightly so. He's a bit of a badass, doesn't really know why.
Well, actually, a lot of people probably don't even know what the hell we're talking about. What is this Atlantis?
It's a new show on the BBC.
It's in the Doctor Who off-season slot, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Is it?
It's a spin-off of Doctor Who.
It's not a spin-off of
Doctor Who.
It's
just in the off-season, so
it's just, you know,
filling time with the different series. It's a fantasy adventure, Greek mythology. Some dude goes to the lost city of Atlantis, and it still exists, but it's in a different, I don't know, plane of existence or something connected to our world, and, you know, I don't know. All of that seemed very flimsy. I'm sure they're going to try and explain it later, but it'll, you know, hopefully be entertaining.
Good performances.
Has it got Mark Addy in it?
It has got Mark Addy in it. He's playing. Do you want to know?
Mark Addy?
Mark Addy is Robert Baratheon.
Oh, awesome! Yeah, he's good.
He's playing Hercules.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, an interesting take on Hercules. The main character's name's Jason, and they're also mates with Pythagoras.
Okay, he's still knocking around.
Well, he's in Atlantis.
Is it set in, like, modern day?
No.
No, it's not.
It is set in interior dimension.
Okay, cool.
Atlantis isn't necessarily existent in our world. In our world,
is it like a sort of runoff of the future where Atlantis has made it to the fore?
No.
Or anything like that.
A guy is in our world on a boat. He goes in a submarine to try and find his dad. Or find out what happened to his dad. Clearly he doesn't believe that his dad's going to be at the bottom of the ocean. But he gets down there, gets sucked into some weird portal and wakes up in fucking Atlantis.
Right, okay.
And it's a bit, you know, yeah, weird. Go with it. It's entertaining enough.
And the dudes he hooks up with are...
Well, we just had this.
Yeah.
I
wait till he goes into the loo and there's missing some narrative.
Hercules and Pythagoras.
Yeah, in fact, that's the only thing that really annoys me about the show, really, is I want them to call Hercules Heracles.
Yeah, I like that too, but, you know, I'm a stickler for the old Greek stuff.
It would have just been well mental for most people, though.
Yeah. Heracles?
It's his real name.
Yeah, well, just to give you a bit of the backstory on him, Zeus, he likes to fuck around, you know. We can't say that that's a bad thing, because he's Zeus, and he's a god, and he deserves to be able to act like that if he wants to. That's the way it works. But he fucks around. His wife, Hera, she's not very pleased about that. She gets very angry. So to try and make up for the fact that he'd got another mortal pregnant, he said, I will name this baby Heracles, which is Hera, her name, and Kleos, which means glory. So it's like, glory to Hera. So surprisingly, she spent, you know, his entire life trying to kill him as, you know, the visual companion to a deep-seated loathing of her husband's unfaithfulness.
And somewhat likened to Stark. Ah, Lady Stark.
Jon Snow and Lady Stark. Well, yeah, I guess so.
Indeed.
Sorry, I don't know why I brought that across. It's kind of Game of Thrones on my mind, but yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, but I wouldn't go too far, because heroes, obviously, as I've just said, can be quite vengeful, and I wouldn't want to piss her off.
True.
Yeah.
But, and I've heard a similar sort of like telling of the story, but obviously in the guise of the TV series Hercules, which they never mentioned Heracles as a context of his name.
Kevin Sorbo.
What a great series that was.
Yeah. Did that lead on to Xena Warrior Princess?
I think it crossed over at points.
Yeah.
I think she did appear in like the second season, and then they were like, oh, give her a show.
But did one spawn the other, like sort of like Angel and Buffy, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
I've watched a new TV show recently. I watched the first episode of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was just as dodgy as I thought it was going to be from the trailers. I wasn't overly impressed. I'm going to watch a few more episodes, see how it turns out. It's always difficult to judge a TV series on its first episode alone.
Yeah.
But I wasn't impressed.
It was a sort of... There seems something very formulaic about... I've seen the second episode as well.
Okay.
And it's a bit sort of... I don't know. I think you do have to give them a bit of time, because they're trying to do the whole... This is what we are. These are our people. Look at us all work together. Blah, 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 blah. Now we're going to do some crazy shit. And you're like, okay, let's hope. I don't know. It could have some pretty good finale moments as well, because they do have, you know, some fairly major celebrities and actors available to them.
Yeah, to pull in from the greater Marvel universe.
You know, you could presumably have Iron Man and just have...
Use the CG suit and Downey Jr. doing the voice or something.
So you don't even have to pay him to fucking appear. Like,
oh, that's good, yeah.
So, and you could do the same for Hulk.
Yeah, they've kept all the CG mocap stuff that they used for the Avengers, because they wanted to use it in a TV series afterwards. So Hulk, hopefully he'll show up at some point.
Yeah, because we're going to do a solid Hulk series at one point.
Chris Evans and what's-his-face, who's the Hemsworth? Neither of them are surely... that big a player that they can rope them in for an episode at some point.
I know, Liam Helms, I think Thor's 2 is going to make him huge, and he's just what? And he's just had like that film out Rush, which is meant to be mentally good.
Yeah, but hopefully he's already signed up to do it.
They have already signed up to the rest of the films, haven't they? They just went through a re-signing phase of contracts. Apart from Chris Evans, because he'd already signed on
like 6 or something.
Yeah, and I see Sam Jackson as well, because he's signed on for some ungodly amount of films.
Mm.
with them. But he loves working, so it'll keep him busy.
Fuck, man, that guy works all day, every day.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I hope it gets better. Whedon is a little bit of a double-edged sword for me. I enjoyed Buffy, but mainly for cheese value. And
yes,
the more you watch of it, the less good it gets.
Yeah, but that's it's always his selling point, the fact that, like, he always had a sense of irony, even about the stuff he was writing. It's always self-deprecating, which is, like, very endearing.
And it's, like, Tarantino-esque, the way he parodies the genre that he's also portraying. Like, he's a real filmmaker.
He's always pointing out the humour and the clichés, which allows him to step beyond the cliché.
Yeah, and I didn't like Firefly at all. I've not seen much of it, but I really didn't like Serenity.
Oh, I quite like Serenity, but I wasn't into Firefly.
I've not watched much of Firefly. I've not watched much of Firefly, but I did like Serenity.
Yeah,
I pretty much liked them both. But Firefly, I mean, Serenity is supposed to be like the whole of season 2, basically just squished down. So it would have been nice to see that actually play out in a season. And the whole, like, Summer Glau's what a badass, what?
But in a weird way, it was perfect for that format, in the sense that, like, it was a big reveal, which meant they just, like, had to pour a lot of budget in there to make it, like, the space battles looked awesome, and as Alva's pointed out, it's like, unrealistic physics-wise to see her do the stuff that she does and sort of, like, knock people, like, on their ass and stuff, it's but at the same
just
time...
It doesn't look like she delivers the power.
Choreography-wise, she's, like, awesome physical memory.
Yeah,
and, like,
it just doesn't look real, because it just doesn't look like there's any force in what she's doing.
That's what's worried me a little
bit. She's a dancer.
The pilot of, like, Shield, it's like the bit where the dude jumps out the window, and he does various superhuman bits in it. A few of them pretty good, but quite a few of them look sort of.
Does he have a power?
TV-ish. He has a power.
Is it just being a bit superhumanish?
Do you want to?
No, don't.
Spoilers.
But the second episode was better. Did have a cameo.
It did.
You seen it?
I've seen it. Yeah.
But I'm very.
I thought that was very much a little bit like, here's a bit of a weak episode, we're going to try and get you in with it towards the end by doing this. And it was cool, but it was like, you know, 1 minute of cool and however many minutes of
it was a bit beige.
But it was also, it also felt like kind of like a necessary this is what I was saying, it's like, I think you have to wait a little bit, because it's like, what format do you go for in your series? And they're clearly going for here's a bunch of guys, this is a new situation. It's like they have the girl in the first episode who's the IT person. It's like a new person that they bring in, and you get her perspective of the team so that you get to learn about it. And that's, you know, you do that for your audience
character,
to bring them in. And I think they did that the second episode. It's like the gelling kind of deal, and now we've got a team, and okay, we can see what happens.
From the advert, there seemed to also be some kind of like very standard, like semi-illicit love affair, but not really love affair going on between,
like,
two characters. Like, yeah, we really fucking fancy you, but like, yeah, I'm not
yeah,
gonna.
Yeah, I also
move.
I much prefer it when triple hard bastard military dudes don't look like the fucking models, like, you know, for fucking, I don't know.
Well, they look practical.
The models for Chippendales.
No,
things.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's just the guys. It's like, you don't look like you're a fucking hard ass military dude who can fucking twat most
but
people.
But Daniel Craig carried that off well.
Yeah, he looks
a bit fucked
rough,
up.
Like,
yeah.
But you know, I think he was good in that role, and they weren't trying to do the kind of the suave stuff as much with that Bond character anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, this guy, it's like, I don't know, it's just not believable.
You mean
you're
the main,
get,
like, sort of badass dude in S.H.I.E.L.D.?
The main, that guy, in the new agent dude in S.H.I.E.L.D., who's, like, his who he brought on to be the hard guy.
Looking through his file, oh, he was the special forces,
yeah. You're like, fuck that, give us a guy with a haggard scar any day, like, you know. You know, make him look actually like he's a hard bastard, like,
Yeah, he was an underwear model.
He doesn't even look like he has to shave, you know what I mean? He's just, he's got like ridiculously smooth skin.
You can say retarded.
I can, but I don't want
to. You could always use the old philosophy, like the boxer philosophy, though, like beware the boxer with good looks kind of thing.
No, but you don't beware the 28 rule. Well, I don't know, that's not true at all. I'm just retract. I'm not even going to finish what I was going to say. But it could very well be true, but he's just not believable to me. And I just don't, you know, they've done it because you want a pretty boy.
They've got to have that main thing for us. All the teams, a little bit, they have to have the geeky board, and they have to have the quirky girl, and they have to have the silent super badass.
So play against type.
Who's got a history?
Play against type and make the geeky guy the hot guy, and have the military dude as an ultimate badass. Like,
should have done.
Because also, you've got this guy that eventually, and at point, deals with, like, you know, people with powers and shit. So it would be nice if he looked like, yeah, okay, maybe he's not got powers, but he's a freaking grok, like, he's going to mess some people up, like, and, you know, at least stands a chance. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait and see what happens. Maybe he's going to get his face smashed in and he'll look like a hard ass.
I don't know, in a weird way, in that kind of character, like, it's like, I can't remember his name for the life of me, Jonah, something like that, but when Heroes was still good, and he was like the agent, the grim glasses.
Oh, Homing glasses and Heroes.
Yeah, and the way he always, like, because he was always up against these people with, like, unique and fucking amazing powers, but he was always one step ahead mentally, and that's how he always managed to capture them.
Yeah.
It was like really cool shit. Like,
but then it got weird by saying, Claire, I've got to do another crazy ass thing so people don't find out you're a fucking mutant.
Is that the second season by any chance?
Third and fourth.
Well, no, that's after the writer's strike destroyed them.
Yeah. It also seems like the Marvel thing is, you know, it's a family show, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's meant to be that kind of viewing, so I think it's not going to be as great. Potentially, you know, a second season, they might go a bit, you know, darker with it.
Well, it is ABC, that's a Disney channel, but see how far they can push it.
Well, it just depends on, you know, if they look at it and go, to be honest with you, the numbers of viewers you're getting off this, if we were going to put money into it, we might as well give a crack a different way, you know, see if we pull in more viewers doing something else.
Well, like you say, see what happens. This next episode's got, like, a Marvel classic villain in, which is awesome. It's like the scientist, I don't know if it becomes it in the episode, but Graviton, who's pretty big in the Marvel Universe, pretty cool. Power over gravity, so he can fly around and.
Surely power gravity is like power of the universe, though.
Exactly, he becomes crazy super hard.
It's like Magneto stretched beyond the realms of Earth.
So that could be interesting. Before I forget, here's something that was gone over recently, which is a big play move by Marvel. They're like doing a big thing. They got, like, you probably heard them, but some people wouldn't have done the Inhumans.
No.
They're like a bunch of characters that live in this sort of, like, far away place, and they're, like, in continuity, they're the result of a Kree experiment in, like, Marvel Aliens. And they've kind of got, like, mutant-esque superpowers. And Marvel is pushing the Inhumans comic-wise in a big way in this next year. And, like, the Terrigen Mists, which are, like, what floats around this place they live, it's a weird sentence, is going to be released across the Earth, and there's going to be shitloads of people turned into Inhumans, which are basically going to be, like, mutants, but without all the copyright problems that they will encounter. So they think that they're pushing them so that they'll have their own X-Men-style franchise, because they're never getting the rights to that back now.
Oh, well, that's a shame. Surely they can come to an arrangement.
I think it's all a bit angry at the moment.
Well, that's a shame. I don't like that. Why can't they all just get along and make me proper geeky fanboy films?
Get Spider-Man in there.
Yeah, everyone in there.
Well, isn't Spider-Man still off the books for everyone?
Yeah,
he's over in Japan at the moment.
Yeah.
Long term, until Sony stop making movies.
Yeah, and they've got a fair few cracking out.
Well, they've got a sequel coming, presumably.
Well,
with Garfield.
They've planned for four.
Yeah.
And that means that they can keep it, as long as they have to actually release something.
They have to keep releasing films within a certain amount of time. They can't let, like, the property go stale.
Right. Are they staying with Garfield?
They are, but interestingly, what they say at the moment is the fourth Spider-Man film may contain no Spider-Man, or no Spider-Man as we know it. So, that's interesting.
The rumour on the boards is that they might kill Peter Parker at the end of 3 or the start of 4, and have Miles Morales, the black Hispanic Spider-Man from the Ultimate Universe. Because all the Marvel guys are white, everyone's white.
Well, yeah, but does he get his powers the same way? No, besides what you show you is Blade.
Everyone's white.
He was white.
He was white in the comic.
He was white in the comics, yeah.
What? Yeah. Originally?
I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Nick Fury was white in the comic books until Ultimates came on, when they decided that they would base the new design of Nick Fury on Samuel L. Jackson.
I remember Caucasian Nick Fury, alright, yeah.
Yeah, but they've definitely done better diversifying than DC have, which is a whole bunch of white guys.
Black Batman, that would be a powerful statement. Black Superman.
There was a black Batman.
That would
Batman
be a powerful statement.
In Batman Incorporated, an African Batman. It was called Batwink. It was pretty cool.
Paul Giamatti's come out this week and said that Rhino is definitely in Spider-Man 3 as well.
But he doesn't know for how long, and he's not signed for 4, allegedly.
Paul Giamatti is Rhino.
Yeah, I'm not confident with that casting, but we'll give it a go. It's not the worst comic book casting that's come out this year. So
when he's played a bad guy, he's like in Shoot 'Em Up, he's always tended to be a bit sort of like strangely overacted and ironic.
Well, unfortunately, that's what he said this time, that the opportunity has been given to him to really ham up the role. Yeah. And if he's planning on hamming up the role more than he's ever hammed up a role before, and I've seen Shoot 'Em Up, well, it's going to be a devastating amount of ham involved.
A truckload of ham.
A fuckload of gammon. That's like ham strip.
It's not straight up him, is it? He's going to be all CGI'd and prosthetic-y.
Quite possibly he won't be in the Rhino suit for the second film. He's like a Russian hired gangster.
It doesn't make sense with Paul Giamatti, basically.
He's in something, because I've seen him in a mocap suit on set, but I heard, I think it was you that told me, that it's not actually a rhino suit.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're keeping their cards quite close to their chest at the moment, but it looks like they're going for an interesting interpretation of the Rhino character, as opposed to sticking to the comic book style. I suppose Lizard was quite different.
Lizard was old school, he was like the 60s Lizard. I didn't realise till I saw some things the other day, and I was like, yeah, fuck, he had that flat face like he had in the film, like that kind of lizardy jaw thing going on.
But it's tricky with those interpretations, because you end up pissing off a lot of fanboys. I mean, when you think about the repercussions against Iron Man 3, well, not to like spoilers, but the interpretation of why keep saying the Manchurian?
The Mandarin.
Like,
it's a good villain, though.
That was really divisive.
It was very divisive, and I shall speak no further on this point, but it is, you know, an issue of contention with me in that film.
Yeah, you and many others. Like, I thought what they did was really good, and I really enjoyed the movie, but it pissed off a lot of people.
Time will tell.
Yeah, I enjoyed the Fing Fang Foom reference that they managed to sneak in there, but overall, unimpressed.
Oh, yeah, but the...
I liked...
No, but...
We're not allowed to say stuff.
Not really, I guess.
We can't really
yeah.
overly spoil. Not on something that big.
I like the end. Okay.
Yeah, I like the end.
Yeah. I mean, overall, I enjoyed the film. It was just certain creative differences between me and the...
I can relate, because it's the same thing I have with like World War Z, which isn't something I like, so I'm not going to talk about it here.
So we've managed to stay pretty much on that topic for quite some time, really.
Have you seen the black glove storyline in Batman?
Yeah, is that the preempter of Darkest Night?
I don't think so.
Is that the one where he feeds Catwoman's sister her own boyfriend's eyeball or something?
No, I don't think so. It's this strange criminal society or individual have come together, known as the Black Glove, and they are toying with Batman. They send the three Batman clones against him, and also, which is the point I was trying to make, is he does something to crash an international Batman reunion. So it's people from different countries around the world who have looked to Batman for inspiration to create their own vigilantes. So they've got like an American Indian man of bats, and there's loads of like cool, interesting plays on the Batman character involved in there.
Did they have Knight and Squire?
Yes, Knight and Squire are in there.
Squire was awesome. Knight's a shitter.
Yeah, it's good. There's a black Green Lantern, but they constantly replace him.
John Stewart was like one of the best Green Lanterns.
Yeah.
It's the one I grew up with because of Justice League cartoon. He was awesome, and he had some badass lines in it.
Yeah, but they always wheel out Hal Jordan again.
Oh, Kyle Rayner. What the fuck's the deal with Kyle Rayner? He's the most boring motherfucker. I prefer Guy Gardner up to Kyle Rayner. Guy Gardner's a shit.
Okay, well, end of comic books.
Well, have you been liking...
Did I like this week? I was going to like the Photonic Molecules thing, but we've done that, really.
I've been watching recently on the internet Conversations with My Two-Year-Old, which is a man who's made a series of sketches, which I assume are not direct conversations that he's had with his two-year-old, but are inspired by real conversations that he's had with his two-year-old. But his two-year-old daughter is played by another fully grown man. It does like cut in between the two of them for comedy effect at points, but it's effectively him just having a range of completely bizarre and awkward conversations with a grown 30-year-old American man wearing child's clothing, often involving large pink clips in his hair and fairy wings on his back.
Is this not like akin to the series with like Elijah Wood? The one where there was basically Wilfred. The Australian series, like, yeah, they're like a guy talking to his dog, but the dog was just a guy in a suit.
That's pretty good.
It's similar, but these are like 3 minutes long and different. Such as the first one, the guy comes home and he's trying to have a conversation with his wife, and this fully grown man walks over and goes, "You can't speak to her. That's not your wife, that's the princess."
Nice.
And carries on along that line. It's like, we're playing together right now, you have to go away. So yeah, just the, you know, what you would expect the child to say, and everyone goes, "Oh, it's really, really creepy."
Yeah, coming from a fully grown human being. Like...
Another one where it's clearly the middle of the night, and a guy walks into his dad's room, completely naked, and is like, "What's going on? I can't sleep. Well, where are your clothes?" "I don't know." And then a fight ensues, him trying to get clothes back on his daughter, who is again this fully grown man.
It's a bit of Fight Club in a weird way.
Yeah, well, stick a link up, it's good viewing.
One of my a friend of mine has put up a vocalisation, what's it, they put a lot of bird song, please edit this down, they've put a lot of bird song through algorithms to like produce visualisations. If you could put a link onto that, it's really cool. Like, a friend of mine put a link. And
the particle effects one.
Yeah, and it's the individual bird song tends to sort of make these amazing fractal patterns, which is much like trying to describe fireworks. I can't, without you having seen it and going, "Oh shit, that looks awesome," I can't really say.
Was it champagne-y?
It's a bit champagne-y. With some sparkly, expanding mushroom kind of effects.
Yeah, explosion within an explosion.
Yeah,
I really like the fish.
Yeah, and the ones that explode on planes, like, are really sort of clinical.
While we're on this sort of area, I really like fractal frames, which you can get from www.fractalframes.com, I think. And they're like, you know, the old cardboard 3D glasses you might get in a magazine.
Mm-hmm, like the green-red split thing.
Yeah, okay, but not green-red split.
Mm.
They've got these, like, special, like, they look like frosted plastic, but it splits any light, well, it splits everything you're looking at, but obviously the brighter the light, the more effective it is, into, like, 8 parts, and sort of spreads the colour spectrum out. So if it's a white light, you end up having, like, mad blues and reds and greens, but split out into a pattern of 8. But they're well entertaining. They're well entertaining. You put them on, just like walking around hallucinating. I was doing like bow spinning with lights on it, like light staff spinning in my garden. It's like I was wielding some kind of anime weapon. It was absolutely amazing. It was like, yeah.
Either way, if you rotate your head, it's all rotates images as well.
Good for a party.
As a point of discussion, what I was going to mention was like, I watched the TV series that follows the short like mini play they did after Dune, which is an amazing show. I like
mini play.
I want to start again.
Okay.
Right, I like Dune.
Right, I'll put a link up as well for something. It's a dude, it came out last year, I think. It's a dude talking to himself, age, I think, 10 or 12. Like, when he was a kid, he did this video of filmed himself and, like, basically talking to himself in the future and asking him questions and things. And then now he's, like, 30 or something.
He's answering them.
Exactly.
Oh, and he has this badass.
Have you never seen that one?
No. That sounds amazing. I might try and find it after.
Oh, it's just beautiful. This guy as well, he's got this weird sort of River Phoenix vibe, and he's just having this awesome sort of like kind of too cool conversation with this kid, and it's fucking great. And loads of people calling him out as fake, and they couldn't obviously tell this guy was definitely himself when he was younger. Well, so we'll put the link up to that because it's lovely. It's also got a bit of pathos, and it's actually a really well done little film.
I'm sure I've said this before, I'm saying it again. Worrying about tomorrow takes away the peace of today.
These yoga things?
No. The Revolution 2040 things. It's that Facebook page I've liked. That you should go on and like it. It's well nice. It just puts up like weird, interesting things. There was a photo of Gandhi overthrew the British Empire with no weapons. Like, shit like that.
It's pretty good. But it turns out it was a bit of a racist.
And a total fucking womaniser.
Really?
Yeah.
Gandhi.
Oh,
not all good.
Clearly, Gandhi. India has some fairly massive problems with womanising there.
Well, there's quite a patriarchal system.
Yeah.
But I do like Dune. I wanted to speak to you guys about the fact that
love the film.
Love the film.
Not a massive fan of the series.
The series actually had some sort of high points in the fact it detailed a lot of the story that goes on past the point of Dune with Children of Dune and all the rest. I think it's the series Dune Apocalypse. But the interesting thing is all the similes between it now and a couple people at least on the internet have spied it between that and Game of Thrones. Because unconsciously or consciously, it's that kind of you got the house family sort of like Atreides, which gets sort of traded off to sort of Arrakis, i.e. King's Landing, under the guise of the Emperor Baratheon kind of thing. It's
they get
set up by their old sort of their enemies, the Lannisters, and there's a lot of sort of plays upon.
Yeah, I don't know. It's it's hard to avoid some things like that when you start start dealing with that type of subject matter, isn't it? It's
there are elements that are old stories, but these are this is a specific set sort of family pattern. The thing is there's a lot of similarities already because it's all about the houses and it's the houses in both Dune and in sort of Game of Thrones.
But it's does that mean then when Dune was made that no one else could ever do anything with houses in it anymore? It's
absolutely not. And I'm not even saying it as a derogatory because I fucking love Game of Thrones. It's just an interesting simile.
I've never really been into Dune. Now, I've kind of seen the film. I have problems with Lynch, which we're going to go into on Stuff Sucks at some point, because now is not the time about me ranting about Lynch. But
I agree wholeheartedly with that, but I do like
Dune. Is a great movie.
I think it's a great film.
It's crammed with good talent.
I got a lot of time for some Lynch.
And it's just got some great sort of, almost steampunky kind of technology going on and stuff in there, which is just ace.
Some of the interpretations apparently were a bit off from the novel, which they felt they aligned with better in the series. I thought it was good, one. And James McAvoy, he did all right. He's going to be awesome in Filth, which something I like. I think that's going to be a good movie.
I'm hearing mixed reviews.
Really?
I think it's meant to be very, very, very good. It's based on an Irvine Welsh book, and it exists within the same universe as Trainspotting and Porno and Skagboys, so it follows some other things. Anything like the Trainspotting lot will make it into the film.
That would be nice.
But I've not read filth yet. Dan's going to lend it to me soon, and I will get through it. But apparently there are references to Begbie in it. I doubt they'll get Robert Bly involved with him. If he actually ever turns up in the book, I'm not sure yet. But I think other characters from things like Porno and Skag Boys will be a part of filth as opposed to the Trainspotting lot. But things like the Acid House kind of fits into that whole universe as well. So, I mean, it could probably be argued that everything Irvin Welsh has written can fit along these characters.
Well, a lot of writers do that, though. Stephen King started doing it in the 80s, but even he would, like, pick that up off someone else. I read a whole, someone's thesis piece about it, about, like, mythoses. Like, loads of, like, Clive Barker, all the books he writes are supposed to be in the same universe, like, you know, Grisham, all kinds of books.
Stephen King's got, like, Derry is the setting for a lot of his stories. He's got a few more as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, I'd love to go to Castle Rock in Maine. It'd be sweet.
That would be good.
Go and hang out, meet him in a diner, be all weird and freak him out.
But back to Porno, which was my original point. Although Danny Boyle has said, yes, I want to make the sequel to Trainspotting. Yes, I want to get the original cast involved. He's also said conflicting things about whether it will be a straight adaptation of Porno. I don't think for a second they would ever entitle the film Porno. I don't think a lot of studios would be willing to let that happen.
Probably just call it Trainspotting 2.
Quite possibly.
Terrible.
We'll see. Yeah. He originally said it was definitely going to be a straight up adaptation of Porno, which I think is a little bit risque, but you know, it's not like Trainspotting was anything like the book. But then, since then, he said he's not doing an adaptation of Porno, he's doing his own story based on themes from it. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully we'll get it soon and I'll be able to pass judgment then, but my expectations are high, Mr. Boyle et al. And you would do well to appease me.
Especially you, Obi-Wan. Sort it out. He hasn't done a good film in ages.
The last film you saw Ewan McGregor being good in? Anyone?
I Love You, Philip Morris.
Oh, I've yet to see that.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I've heard it's
the first prison romance film ever made.
That was actually romantic.
Hence, prison romance film.
Yeah.
And also a really good performance from there's a bit of that as well. Jim Carrey.
Dude. Actually, both of them have had a shocking dry spell of shitty movies, but I Love You, Philip Morris. Quality.
I think I'm willing to forgive.
For being a real story. The guy's really very MacGyver.
And it's true, isn't it?
It's so based on real events, yeah.
I think I am willing to forgive Jim Carrey for any kind of film crime based on his performances in Man on the Moon and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah. I like Truman Show.
And Yes Man was good as well, actually, for a little bit, of Zooey Deschanel as well.
It was fun. It was definitely fun.
I'd definitely say that Zooey Deschanel was the best part of that film.
Yeah,
I wasn't a fan of the film in general, to be honest.
But it's not as good as the book.
Yeah, I love the book. I think it's fantastic. Danny Wallace is, he's written quite a few cracking books.
He made his mind off that movie. I've got a cameo.
Who was in the movie?
In a bar or something.
Someone at Ubisoft came to him and said, "We're looking for characters for the new Assassin's Creed game. We'd really like you to be in it. We've got this character who we think is you in a nutshell, and we'd like to be able to use your voice and likeness to portray him in the game." At which point they passed him the script, and the first things he read were "nerdy middle-aged geek." I was like, "Oh, me in a nutshell! Fantastic!"
It's nice to know where you're defined in the world. I liked Steve Merchant in Portal 2. He is awesome.
Steve Merchant is really good in Portal 2. Very good. I really like his character, especially the whole backstory that he was, because GLaDOS, the evil machine from Portal, is a crazy super intelligent robot. When things started to get out of control and they weren't able to handle her anymore, they built extra personality cores to attach to her to try and change her programming. Wheatley, Stephen Merchant's character, is
designed to be the most stupid idiot the world has ever seen, so that he will slow down her reasoning processes and make her more able to tame. But as anyone who's played the game knows, it did not work.
Awesome.
On a theme, you heard the rumours this week about Half-Life 3.
Hoax.
Hoax?
Hoax.
Ah, shit.
Yeah, they gave the game away when they, I think they listed another Valve threequel about a week later. But yeah, the Valve, yeah, for anyone who wasn't paying attention, Half-Life 3 domain name and trademarks were registered by a company that looked very much like Valve. But I think it's since turned out that, no, it's not happening.
Have you seen the controller for the Steam Box?
No, I haven't had a look yet.
It's like a PlayStation one, isn't it?
Ah, but
or it, an Xbox one, sorry.
Sort of. Okay,
it looked, from the things I saw of it, I thought it looked very much like another console's controller. I can't remember which one now.
Mm. Right, the Steam Box, in case you don't know, is Valve's gaming unit designed to plug straight into the television and either stream games or download them or
Yeah, because Gabe Newell doesn't believe in consoles, but he's making one.
Yeah, that guy. Well, he can do what he wants. He's a billionaire.
Well, to be honest, they'll probably just make a fucking really high-end PC that plugs into a TV instead of a monitor, and they'll just power it through Steam, so it's all like digital downloads for the games and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do that and release all their threequels as exclusives to their own console, the rest of the gaming world will cry out in horror, because everyone will want to buy a Steam Box if Half-Life 3 comes out for it.
Yeah. But here's the interesting thing. Their controller, they've got rid of the ABXY buttons. Most of the buttons are like on the back of the controller, and it's got a little touchpad in the centre for extra buttons and shit. So it's like, you know, the two directionals, an analog or whatever.
Or
the buttons
and a mouse pad.
Sort of, yeah. Or you can assign it as four separate buttons, like quick press, like quick load and quick save and stuff.
How much is it going to be sold at for?
I don't think they're there yet.
But there's like, they're going through loads of different like producers, I don't know what you call them. So there's going to be like 8 or 9 different Steam Boxes coming out just at the start, with like slightly different specs and all sorts, because it's like open source. They've just said, yeah, just go with it, do what you want, as long as it's got like certain requirements, which is really weird.
Clever as well, though, if you just kind of look at the cost of implementing it all yourself and hiring all the developers and all the rest of it, when actually you can just go, this is our fee, go and make it.
Mm.
And some people will do cheaper ones and some people will do crazy nice, you know. Well, I say that's quite clever of them.
It's, yeah, I hope it works.
Oh, can I talk about something?
No.
A thing I like is Hun Ho 2.
Oh, shit, I was going to like mention it. Yeah, it's like something like Alf played for me the other night as well. And yeah, really inspiring stuff. But yeah, Alf, what is Hun Ho 2?
They are Tuvian, I believe, from Tuva, which is on the Russian side of the Russian-Mongolian border.
Yeah, so it's like a Mongolian throating, isn't it?
Well, they're not Mongolian, they're Russian. Russian side of the Russian-Mongolian border. But yeah, they do throat singing, where basically they have the, like, they sing a tone, and then they can sing other tones over the top of it. So it can sound like, you know, really deep, or sometimes it can sound like a bird, or it can sound sort of like, basically like a bloody synthesizer. Yeah, it's badass. Like, they do songs like, they've got a song called Krieger or something, I think, which is like, they say they go and sit and sing and play it to the mountain, and it's like their homage to the spirit of the mountain, and it's like full of these well deep bassy throat noises and stuff.
But it's like, a lot of it is like really upbeat, happy music,
yeah,
like it's
yeah.
really inspiring stuff.
Yeah, but the mountain one's really inspiring. It's cool as hell. It's not dark or anything at all. Like it's like building like from like doing a few tones to fluctuating a tune out of the tones that he's doing. Like, it's well impressive stuff.
I've this week been enjoying getting my feet wet on Grand Theft Auto Online. It's taken up a lot of time, and it's been very frustrating at points. Like, I made 33 grand on the first day that I played it. On the second day, I lost 13 grand. And I've recently got back up to about 50 grand. But I've played, like, 20 hours of it already. And I'm just dying constantly, being viciously killed by my competitors. I expected, after all these years of playing Grand Theft Auto, to be a much better criminal than I am. But, you know, I'll get there. It's got a few nice touches over the original. Like, each player has their own car. Now, you can buy more cars and customise them. But if the police see you driving a car that you don't own, they'll come after you. So there's a bit more police presence to worry about. Obviously, other players will just kill you for no reason. You have like a wallet and a bank account, so any cash you make will go directly into your wallet. But if someone kills you, they can steal all the money that's in your wallet.
I liked Steven Seagal doing the bunny ears behind Vladimir Putin.
Mr. Putin.
I missed that.
I don't think it was from this week, but I saw it this week. It was excellent. He's got his little bunny ears going on behind his head, and he's looking over to his right. There's another guy standing there, looking at him and having a lovely moment.
If anyone's going to fuck with Putin, I think Seagal could handle himself in a one-on-one fight. Obviously, he'll die 3 weeks later in mysterious circumstances.
And it depends on the radius. Like, Steven Seagal is effective within staggering distance. If he has to run, he's not going to do it.
Also, like, Putin's pretty fucking hard. He's like a judo black belt and an ex-KGB agent. I reckon
Seagal
he'd give
was
him
was pretty hard.
I reckon Putin he'd give Seagal a good go and may, in fact, fuck him up.
It's a fight I'd like to see. Mystery guest, the final thing that you like?
I like beer and resolution.
Okay, well, that was things we like this week.
No, sorry, shall I come up with something?
If you want to.
That's what you liked.
Yeah, I like beer and resolution.
It's two things, but whatever.
Alright, resolution.
You don't like beer?
Love beer.
No.
This isn't things we love. Keep your loves to yourself.
I'm instantly sorry for everything I say, but then I just figure, fuck it.
Well, that's been things we like this week. If you like things, please head over to our Facebook and blog pages. You can reach us on wethingslike.wordpress.com. As I said, we're available on Facebook and iTunes. And if you like things, please email them to thingswelike@hotmail.com.
That was quite a lot there, well done.
That was, I think I repeated myself a few times, maybe.
Possibly.
All it was details. A tricky lane to travel, but there we go.
I liked it. But do you know what else I like?
Mm.
What do you like?
Duct tape.
Fucking yeah. It's been a while. We haven't actually properly talked about duct tape in a while.
No, somebody used duct tape in an amazing way recently as well. We need to talk about that, but I currently can't remember what it was.
Right, after the Halloween special and the accent special, I think we should do a solid episode about duct tape.
Okay.
We have to do some research and get some
Maybe
stories.
Maybe we should bring some duct tape and try and make some things while we're there.
Yes.
That would be quite good. And we need to do True American. But anyway, I've been someone.
I've been...
We still end it.
I've been no one.
I've been every woman.
And I've been around the world and I can't find my baby.
Oh, that was amazing. Do we need to say goodbye and shit?
We do need to say goodbye and shit.
Hey, let's all say goodbye, because that'll make it sound a bit culty.
Goodbye! You didn't say goodbye.
I didn't say goodbye.
Well, we'll have to do it again.
Yeah, never leaves.
3, 2, 1.
Goodbye! Goodbye! Oh, Dan's going to hate that.
Yeah, but let's cut that out.
But can we do it in a sort of a round thing? Like,
say,
bye.
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 That was awful.
Wait, one more time for the books.
Bye.
Bye. No, wait. Can we do like the throat singing, like mine? Bye.
Pretty good.
I feel a bit sick.